Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Hey, do you have an older or unused bike you'd like to see out of your garage or basement and put to good use? Or maybe you know a child or youth or teenager who's got a lot of energy and they're looking for a great way to use it. We've got a way you can take care of both. So check out our chat with CMAK Foundation's Race for Chase founder to learn more. Then we're going to introduce you to Families Network of Western Connecticut, creating positive, lasting changes through public awareness activities, direct services to families, volunteer training, and a commitment to partnering with community and business leaders, social service agencies, and healthcare and educational providers. Then we're going to wrap meeting an old friend who's a new director at Keystone House, a nonprofit providing residential and psychosocial services for adults with psychiatric disorders in Greater Norwalk, delivering necessary life skills and tools to help them live as independently as possible. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. Early bird registration is open now through May 27th, so why wait? Join BH Care on June 4th for their annual A Chance to Shine celebration and benefit at Quarry Walk in Oxford. At 10 a.m., you'll walk in honor of victims of domestic violence, and then the Community Fun Day commences with food trucks, live music, lawn games, a touch of truck yard for kids of all ages, and more. And all proceeds raised support the critical programs of the Umbrella Center, Parent Child Resource Center, Hope Family Justice Center, and BH Care's Mental Health and Substance Use Services. All the critical and life-saving services BH Care provides to Connecticut adults and children. You want to learn more? Just go to achancetoshinect.org.
Well, we always like visiting with old friends, great resources, not just for the award-winning For the People, but also for kids all over Connecticut and some in Massachusetts and some in Rhode Island and some down in the Carolinas. Lots going on with the CMAK Sandy Hook Memorial Foundation. Our guest, Rebecca Kowalski, has been with us a number of times before. After losing their son, Chase, in the Sandy Hook tragedy, the family wanted to capture his competitive spirit and vitality in creating a charity in his honor with a focus on health and wellness for children and their families. The Chase Michael Anthony Kowalski Sandy Hook Memorial Foundation emerged and continues to pursue programs and initiatives encouraging personal improvement, healthy lifestyles, and strong family and communities. And man, do they make those kids run, Rebecca. And now biking and swimming and all kinds of great things happening. How have things been going since our last visit?
Oh, we've been really busy. It's been a great year. We're starting out really strong, and the momentum is just going to pick up month after month. We've got a lot of activity.
So post-COVID, the rubber band snapped right back.
Oh, absolutely. Thankfully, too, I have to add.
Great. Well, lots to talk about coming up, and a lot of folks hopefully will be re-listening to the podcast, because we've got a lot of dates and activities to talk about in the next 15 minutes or so. But let's just wind the clock back just a couple of weeks, really, to a very, very special event that happened back on February 22nd regarding a memorandum of understanding. Let's hear all about that.
Well, we signed 32 programs, I believe, in four states. It was a fun event. You know, post-COVID, everybody's still a little leery, but we had a great turnout. It was wonderful to actually hug people and see everybody that we haven't seen in a couple years. And we're just really excited to have new programs join us.
So these are partnerships with YMCA organizations?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody is a YMCA affiliate, with the exception of the Newtown Community Center.
And these will all host Race for Chase triathlon programs and training going forward for the rest of the year? Or are they permanent partners until that partnership lapses?
They have the option to join each year. They don't have to. But the program has been evolving since inception, and we started with three programs, and now we're at 32 in four states. So anybody that has joined the program has bonded with it. We love it. They love it. And they look forward to it every year.
So this all emerged from the fact that even as a 4, 5, and 6-year-old, your late son Chase was a runner and then started getting kind of brought along by adults who were running triathlons?
No, not at all. This was totally on his own. Chase was a runner. I took him for track and field events through the Grimes and Bethel High School summer program.
Oh, okay.
And he loved to run. So he started with a 50-yard dash and ended with a 400-meter run and just absolutely loved it. From that, he grew into riding his bike and then swimming. And as he swam, he started asking his sister to race. And then when he started beating her the short distance of the pool, she made him go the long distance. Long story short, he came in one morning and said, "Mama, I want to do that thing where you swim, bike, and run." And I laughed at him. I'm like, "Chase, that's a triathlon. Like, they don't do that for kids. You're six." And he was like, "No, Mama, Google it." And he handed me an iPad. So that's what we did. We found his first and only triathlon. And the self-esteem boost that gave him was unbelievable. It's life-changing. So when we lost him, you know, he came to me in a vision and he said, "We're going to change the world, Mama." And we didn't know how it was going to look, but it did. And, you know, here we are with 32 programs.
Yeah, nearly three dozen sites and all for kids age 6 to 12.
Yes. Yep.
Very good. Well, what else do we need to know about the triathlon program? What are the nuts and bolts of it? How do people come and get involved?
Well, first you want to do is check with your local YMCA or go to the cmacfoundation.org website and check for all of our sites so you can see if it's your local YMCA. And then give them a call and ask for an application. Your child needs to fill out an application of why he'd like to do this. And then it's a 6-week summer program. All participants are required to go to the finale at the end. So you need to make sure that your vacation schedules will work out with our program.
And it all culminates around this July 17th Community Kids Triathlon or later in the summer?
No. So each state has their own finale. So the July 17th is a community event where any child who would like to try triathlon can come to the Great Hollow Lake in Monroe, register online, and then they'll be able to do their own triathlon, first-timers or seasoned triathletes, for that matter. And that's just a one-day event that we host. The others, the six-week program, we have culminating events in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and South Carolina on specific dates. Those events are held only for the kids in the program.
Oh, okay. A lot of other things going on, though. You're launching something called Try It for Chase, a leadership development program for middle schoolers?
It's a leadership program for high schoolers that will mentor middle schoolers.
Okay.
And what its basis is, because of the program we have, the Race for Chase program, is for 6-year-olds to 12-year-olds. So the 12-year-olds that age out or any 12, 13-year-old that didn't get to participate in Race for Chase can do the Try It for Chase program where the high school kids will mentor the middle school kids and then teach them not only swimming, biking, running. Hopefully they should know how to do that. If not, we'll hone their skills and prepare them for a sprint triathlon that we'll put on.
Also gives the older high school age kids a little bit of more responsibility and potentially the benefit of making a big difference in the life of a younger kid.
Absolutely. Mentorship is huge. Without that, it just builds so much character in the older kids and in the younger kids to see the older kids coming in and helping them. And then with the Race for Chase program, we found that as the kids age age through, they want to come back and they want to be junior coaches and they want to be coaches and whatnot. So this opportunity with the kids that have never had the opportunity to do the Race for Chase program, it's giving them something to look forward to.
Yeah, I guess from a mentoring standpoint, like it's a lot more effective for high schoolers to be mentored by a college age or adult person. But I have to believe that when you're kind of at that elementary, middle school age, the closer you are in age to your mentor, potentially the better benefit you might be able to get out of it in both directions.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. You know, sometimes an age gap too large is overwhelming and there's no understanding. With the high schoolers and the middle schoolers, the high school kids were just there. They know how hard middle school is. Middle school is tough years, you know, as is high school. So to be able to get these kids to work together and realize that there's bonds that can be formed and helping each other and not making it as difficult and clicky and tough as it is, you know, going into high school already knowing maybe a senior will help you.
Sure, sure.
So it's That's a nice thing.
Sounds like a great program. Try it for Chase. I should say all of this information and more can be obtained if you want to learn more about it. You'd like to get involved. You have a kid who's eligible for one or more of the programs you'd like to get them in on. You'd like to find out about preschool scholarships, fundraising, even possibly representing the Race for Chase and Kowalski organization in the New York City Marathon. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Lots going on. Our guest, Rebecca Kowalski of the CMAK Sandy Hook Memorial Foundation. Here we are, first weekend in April, and already your bicycle collection program is in place and running through the end of the month. So for folks that are listening who may have a kid who outgrew their bike or got their driver's license and doesn't use the bike anymore or whatever, you are willing to take that bike off their hands gladly.
Oh, absolutely. So we've partnered with the Newtown Community Center and Ridgefield Police Department, Newtown Police Department. And if there's any other police departments that would like to collect bikes for us or let people drop off, we would be greatly appreciative of that. The bike drive, we're partners with Bikes for Kids Foundation, who supply us with all of our bikes. And they go through gently used bikes and refurbish them, and then we give them to the programs. And then any child in the program that doesn't own a bike gets to keep that bike. So it's a really great a way to, you know, keep bikes going and flowing through and helping kids and keeping everybody healthy and riding.
And connect them to the tool that helps them to be, you know, one segment of the try better.
Yeah, exactly.
For folks that like that 80s music like you and I do, you're tapping that genre for your next gala that is open to the public while tickets last?
Oh, absolutely, yes. So we have our Back to the 80s gala, which agreed, best decade ever. So my daughter is actually totally fascinated with the 80s. So she was like, let's do this 80s gala, Mom. Everybody wants it. So I said, okay, great. And she's putting together some really fun raffle prizes and working with a bunch of different people for donations. So we should have a great time, great music, obviously, and photo booths and dinner will be served. There's a cocktail hour from 6:30 to 7:30. Doors open at 7. You know, it's going to be a fun night.
And all happening at the Newtown Community Center here as well, who's been a great partner with you folks on the programming since it opened. Now, a lot of runners dream of running in the New York City Marathon, and you have an opportunity for a handful of them to represent the organization. What's that all about?
Yes, we do. So we have been partnered with the New York City Roadrunners, and we have 18 charity bibs available. So if you do not qualify to run the New York City Marathon, the best way to go is a charity bib, and you raise a minimum of $2,500 for a said foundation, CMAC Foundation. And we're taking applications now. The event is in November, so you have plenty of time for training and getting ready for it. And, you know, just, again, look at our cmacfoundation.org website, and there should be a spot for applications.
And looking all the way back to the beginning of the foundation, you are continuing to assist individuals who may need it with preschool scholarships, because that was such an important part of Chase's development.
Oh, absolutely. Our preschool scholarship runs through the Greater Waterbury YMCA and their school readiness program. So we affect about 240 families a year with a $20,000 scholarship to the Waterbury Y.
Excellent. So in closing, what are the best ways for people who might want to explore getting more involved with the organization, whether it's being a volunteer, a board member, somebody strategic who may help with key programs that you're doing? What's the website where they could go to learn more?
You go to our website is cmacfoundation.org. That's C-M-A-K. Foundation.org. There's all sorts of drop downs and whatnot. You can send us a request, info@cmacfoundation.org. That's probably the best way to get in touch with us, but write us a letter. We're at 2 Washington Square, Newtown, Connecticut, 06470. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and a few other things for people to look forward to is the September 18th, 2022 Ride for Chase motorcycle ride with your partners at the Pies and Pints Pub in Middlebury.
Yeah.
And other activities, the November 6th New York City Marathon, of course. And then on October 27th, it's the 2022 Chase Annual Birthday Donation to Preschool Readiness Program, assumably raising money for the preschool scholarships out of the Waterbury Y.
Yes, absolutely. We also have our community triathlon July 17th, our 80s gala on May 21st. And then the bike drive all through April.
So if anybody has a bicycle out there and they would like to turn it over to a young person who's developing through the CMAK triathlon program, then they can make that drop off or find out more through cmakfoundation.org.
Yes.
Rebecca Kowalski and the Kowalski family, Steve, Brittany, and Aaron, doing incredible work out of the tragedy and loss of Chase Michael Anthony Kowalski, a great resource to our program and kids, not just here in Connecticut, but in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, South Carolina, and a growing network across the country in years to come, thanks to all of your great works. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we have been so good at making new friends on the award-winning For the People over the past few months that we're going to just keep the ball rolling and make another one. I'm proud to introduce you to Sue Giglio. She's Executive Director of Families Network of Western Connecticut. They work to create positive, lasting changes through public awareness activities, direct services to family, volunteer training, and a commitment to partnering with community and business leaders, social service agencies, and healthcare and education providers. And there's a lot to cover this morning, so let's get going. Sue, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So beyond that introduction, give us a little bit more background. How did this whole Families Network of Western Connecticut get started?
Sure. It actually started as one single program back with community planning as far back as 1997. It was the brainchild of Dr. Robert Joy, a retired pediatrician, and his partner in life, his wife, Nan, and Dr. Alvin Goldman. So they learned of a new, at that time, child abuse prevention program that was getting a lot of national recognition, and they wanted to bring it to Danbury. So they just kind of brought the community together and thought, how can we make this happen here? So it actually started as a quite large collaborative and was housed under the Danbury Visiting Nurse Association originally. And that continued for 5 years, where we grew into a number of family support programs and incorporated in 2003. So we will be in January celebrating 20 years as a fully incorporated organization.
But really, operating for almost a quarter century at this point.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's great. Well, a lot of programs to talk about for a small regional nonprofit, and we should say that the network serves a number of communities in several of our station listening areas, including Danbury, Bethel, Bridgewater, Brookfield, New Fairfield, New Milford, Newtown, Reading, Ridgefield, and Sherman. And their current programs are many. So, Sue, without any further delay, let's get started on the punch list here. Start with telling us a little bit about your parenting groups.
Our parenting groups are open to the public at large. Right now, we are focusing on fatherhood and engaging dads. So our we have a group starting called the Nurturing Fathers Group that will be running beginning April 12th and will run for Tuesday evenings through the end of June. And coming soon, we will have the Dr. Dads trademark program for new parents, new dads looking for some hands-on support.
And what is that program called? What is the new program called?
Dr. Dads.
Okay.
Dr. Dads. And it focuses on helping dads learn the ins and outs of identifying this, sickness, illness, how to deal with a cranky baby. Today, more and more, particularly with the working remotely dads and folks that are perhaps the primary child care provider in the home. We're seeing a bit of that, and we are trying to reach out and support dads as best as possible.
Excellent. So tell me a little bit about Healthy Families America.
Healthy Families was our regional program brought here through Dr. Joy. It is a national program of Prevent Child Abuse America and focuses on strengthening parenting, strengthening families through parenting education and support in the home. So we actually bring our services to parents, and we're focusing on healthy child development, helping parents identify and learn realistic expectations. So we do a lot with child development and the stages and doing screenings to make sure that babies and young children are on track and make sure that they're connected with a permanent medical provider, a medical home it's referred to, and really tracking their health and wellness.
It looks like you guys also go in and actually help kind of child-proof the homes, or you look for areas where a parent might kind of, you know, go by the situation, you know, 10 times a day, and they don't notice because they're grown-ups, but these things could be hazardous to a child.
Certainly. We get down on the floor and crawl from the child's perspective,
yeah,
and look at things that might be dangerous or things that might be really interesting to little ones, and pulling. And so we try to make sure that any awkward furniture is secured to the wall.
Sure.
You know, just preventing injury.
Excellent. So you talked about doctor dads and putting dads to work, making sure they're doing a good job keeping their kids healthy. But now you also have something called Parents as Teachers.
Parents as Teachers, also a home visiting program where we go in and same ultimate goal of healthy outcomes for children and having them be as prepared as possible for school readiness and lifelong learning. We focus on infant mental health and building resiliency in right from the start, making sure that parents and children have the best possible emotional attachment.
Mm.
And again, learning, parents understanding growth and development and perhaps their child's behavior in ways that maybe they hadn't considered before, or learning new parenting skills that might be different from the way they themselves were raised.
So you're helping them learn kind of the newest best practices for parenting, but this program, Parents as Teachers, that's not restricted to just parents of newborns, is it?
No. Right now, through this has been made possible through a relatively new grant made possible through the Office of Early Childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a significant grant that we're partnering with regionally with Ed Advance in Litchfield.
Sure.
As the lead. And we're offering this best practice evidence-based programs, trying to mirror in both the greater Torrington area and the greater Danbury area a number of parenting support resources.
So this the program Parents as Teachers, it's for newborns and toddlers
and preschoolers. But again, with this funding, this particular funding cycle is really looking to focus on parents as early as possible, even prenatally.
Oh, okay.
So while during pregnancy, learning best practices and kind of preparing for and right up to the age of two. And I think that the purpose there is to really focus on the earliest years where the greatest brain development is happening, and where still children are the most vulnerable.
Great.
They're in the homes. They may not be a part of the typical community services or preschool or that would offer parents additional support and resources. So we're really looking for the youngest community and getting the babies off to a healthy start.
Right.
And the goal to deliver them to. So we work very closely with the early child care community, early childhood education, health providers, as you had mentioned in the beginning of the introduction.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are working with Beth Bye in the Office of Early Child Care, then that is the gold standard. So kudos to you guys for getting involved in that and being welcomed into that grant umbrella. Yeah, Beth does a great job and is a great resource.
Certainly.
Of our program as you are becoming now. Folks, we're talking to Sue Giglio. She's the executive director of the Families Network. network of Western Connecticut, serving 10 communities, as you're hearing, with a wealth of programs. And there's a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation. Stay with us. There's a lot more for you from the Families Network of Western Connecticut. Stay tuned. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Southern Connecticut's Binky Patrol provides blankets to critically ill and traumatized children in the Bridgeport region by delivering blankets for comfort to hospitals, shelters, schools, and homes. We're proud to say they are this month's Connoisseur Cares local charity. Every month, we're going to highlight and support one of Connecticut's great charitable organizations. Please go to BinkyPatrol.org or find them on Facebook at CT Binky for more information and how you can get involved. We're back. Thanks for staying with us. Sue Giglio is here. She's Executive Director of Families Network of Western Connecticut, serving 10 communities in the Western Connecticut area, either in total or with strategic programs aimed at specific communities. Sue's has worked with the founders, Dr. Bob Joy and Nancy, his wife, as well as colleagues and others who have been in this program now for almost a quarter century, serving Western Connecticut, creating positive, lasting changes through public awareness and direct services to families, as we're hearing about. So let's go back and consult the list, because we've got a couple of programs that are really interesting to me, Sue, because it seems like every day on the news, in the papers, on the radio, on social networks, we're hearing about the crisis in child care here in Connecticut and the challenges that child care agencies and preschools and things have. And I know a lot of people are concerned about making sure they're getting the right and best child care for their loved ones. You've got a child care provider consultation situation or opportunity. How does that work?
That is in partnership with the School Readiness Council here in Danbury. And we go into family child care providers' homes. That might be a relative. Kids might be home with grandma or another family member or a neighbor who we're in the situation where the child care provider wasn't formally trained, as in what you would find in an accredited situation. So we focus on the safety of the environment where the children are being watched and cared for, and really trying to help child care providers bring learning into everyday activities, ordinary daily activities that help promote their language and their social and emotional growth and development.
So this is a strategic program. You're looking to serve a little under two dozen child care providers over the course of this year. But then you also have something that is more available for the general public and parents throughout the region, as well as human service providers, called Infant Injury Prevention and Health Promotion. What is that project? Sure. What are the details on that?
That is pretty much our overarching all else. So that's our public awareness campaigns. It's important for our staff to be the local resources in the community, and even better, to be able to put a face and a name with a community agency, because a very important part of our role is connecting families to the services that they need, whether that might be more seeking out the experts of behavioral health, or if there's some substance use disorder, or again, we want to link families to the best possible source for them. So our a critical role of our staff is to be out in the community, making those relationships with other community providers in the education or social service realm. So we participate in health fairs and different activities and events that might bring families together to just kind of bring awareness to child abuse prevention. We're so grateful for this opportunity to speak with you today because April is National Child Abuse Awareness, Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we are preparing for our pinwheels, planting pinwheel gardens for prevention to just bring focus to the sign of the pinwheel is a symbol for the carefree and healthy and a happy childhood that every child deserves. And there's, you know, different extents of the supports that families need. So from anywhere from very young parents to older parents with this might be their first parenting experience and everything in between. So again, it's just gives us an opportunity to bring some awareness, some very important awareness to nobody intends to hurt a child, right? It just, we may not have our best days when we're overtaxed, stressed, burdened, concerned about finances or where our next paycheck is going to come from. Mm-hmm. So again, our role is to help families identify the stressors and help them kind of get them in check in order to be able to focus on the most positive parenting experience, help make parenting be the best that it can be and give our community's children the best possible start.
Well, another way that the Families Network of Western Connecticut helps parents be the best they could be, as well as grandparents who play such a critical role these days in families and child development, and all of the angels who step up in Connecticut as foster parents. You have a parent leadership training program that's really aimed at that entire audience.
Absolutely. And that's for the general population as well, in folks who want to learn more about civic engagement, getting involved in the community, how do communities work. If it's a national and I believe now international program that provides training for parents to become leaders. So through the course of the series, parents, as I said, learn about how municipalities work, how the state works, and throughout they identify a project and work on an independent project that for completion of and considered for graduation of the course. And it's really helping parents find their voice and make the community just a little bit better.
Great. Well, we've zoomed in on virtually all of the programs that are available through this 10-town area in Western Connecticut through your nonprofit, the Families Network of Western Connecticut. But I guess the most important thing that we need to convey is not one, not two, but all of these programs are absolutely no cost to those who are signing on, right?
Absolutely. Free and voluntary. You know, it's not the type of program that they can be mandated into.
Sure.
Whether they're, you know, whether there's conflict amongst the parents or there are any other kind of authority.
Yeah. Well, how do people get to you to learn more about or apply for these programs? You're a nonprofit, of course. You survive not just on grants, but on the goodness of individuals' donations, as well as, I'm sure, at least from your board and immediate event and activity support network, volunteers as well. How do people get in touch with you in the last minute that we have?
Absolutely. There's multiple opportunities. We're most proud of how parents hear about us through word of mouth, through somebody who's had a positive experience with some of our services and programs. But certainly they could visit our website at www.fnwc.org or call our agency at 203-791-8773.
Excellent. Sue Giglio, a brand new friend, and we can't wait to talk to you again, Sue, and learn more about new programs or expanding programs that you're going to be offering through the Families Network of Western Connecticut, creating positive, lasting changes through public awareness activities, direct services to families, volunteer training, and commitment to partnering with community and business leaders, social service agencies, as well as healthcare and education providers. Once again, this nonprofit is available for you in the 10-town area that they serve in Greater Danbury, Bethel, Newtown, Sherman, Bridgewater, New Fairfield, Reading, Brookfield, New Milford, and Ridgefield. Once again, fnwc.org is their website. And Sue, thank you so much for your time this morning, and it was great to meet you and learn about your organization. Well, good leaders keep turning up all over the place when good organizations need them, and Nick Hoffman's no different. I've known him to lead a number of very worthy nonprofits in Connecticut over the past, 10, 15 years, I guess we've known each other. Yeah. You have found yourself now over the past couple of months as the driver of the Keystone House bus. Quite literally, you're new executive director for Keystone House, a nonprofit providing residential and psychosocial services for adults with psychiatric disorders in the greater Norwalk area. Founded in 1972, you're serving hundreds of clients in the region, and there's lots to talk about. We appreciate you taking 10 or 12 minutes to give us a little bit of an orientation this morning, or a reminder about this important organization as you're going through your accreditation there. I mentioned before turning on the mic, anybody that's been through an accreditation in any organization or agency where they work knows exactly what you're going through. So thank you for your time, and great to hear your voice, and glad to know you're back in the area and working with such a great and worthy agency. So beyond the brief introduction, what excited you? I mean, what jazzed you up and made you kind of, jump for joy figuratively or literally when they gave you the call and said, we want to bring you on as the new executive director at Keystone House?
Yeah, I mean, and John, you know, every time we've come together for these conversations, mental health has been at the core. And so that's really my personal passion. I've been fortunate enough professionally to work with some really incredible nonprofit organizations and build a skill set that makes me a credible executive director. But also just, some of my own personal experiences, my own personal journey with mental health and how much the system can improve, how much it needs innovation and forward-looking leaders. So I think those are the things that really compelled me to take the helm here at Keystone House.
Yeah, I really find that the best leaders for organizations are ones who have experienced the mission of those organizations from a client services or observational standpoint, like yourself. And I know that this is going to be a great fit for you, and hopefully we'll be talking to you in relationship to Keystone House for many, many years to come. So this organization is nearing its 50-year mark. You've got a gala coming up in May. We'll talk a little bit about that before we say farewell. But there are a handful of programs we want to drill into and explain to people. You know, of course, we constantly are hearing about conflicts in the community when housing programs to assist individuals and provide, a place for them to go in a neighborhood and a community where they want to be. Keystone House really is a leader in this department. You've got two transitional and one long-term housing program, a supportive apartment program, as well as a community living center. So let's talk about the transitional housing first.
Sure. Yep. So, I mean, those are the programs. A lot of our clients are coming from a long-term hospitalization or a higher level of care. You know, so their acuity is lessening, but they still need supportive living. So the goal of the programs is to emphasize the personal needs and the individual needs of every client, set goals, achieve those goals with the objective of independent living. And that's a process that ideally, it's 18 to 24 months, and then we're able to help transition them on to independent living. As you can imagine, in Norwalk, in Fairfield County, housing is, mm-hmm. is at a premium, and the expense is even more. So I think that becomes one of our challenges is finding those next step places from the supportive housing programs.
So let me stop you there because I'm interested in knowing, are a lot of the folks that you're getting to know who live in these housing programs and the apartment program and the community living center, who come to the community living center, are they individuals who also have loved ones or a family support network also in the community or in the region?
It varies. Every circumstance is truly individual. Mm. And some of the clients we're working with come from other parts of the state. You know, it really depends on who has a bed open sometimes. Mm. DMIS is a tremendous partner for us, and they help, they guide most of our admissions. Each client has different levels of community that wraps around them, whether that's family, a friend network, a connection to a religious institution, work. And that's something in their treatment plans and their goals we really try to emphasize because we recognize that human connection is one of the most powerful elements to recovering from mental health or to navigating mental health.
Yeah, living.
And being able to nurture those support systems is a huge component of it.
Okay. So 12 to 18 months in the transitional housing program and then hopefully into the community. You have one long-term housing program as well.
Yep.
I imagine those are for people that may require just a little bit more supervision and support.
Yep. Yeah. And that's something that often gets determined in the transitional homes. You know, we empower our clients to really make the best decision for them. And often many of them find that they feel safest in a supportive housing environment, so a program like General House really makes sense for them long term, that has that structure, that has that support, that has the staff there to help them navigate their day. And even within that program, we have individuals that are living, successfully, within the community. They have jobs and they have responsibilities in terms of, volunteering and within the home, where, they're truly integrated. So, I think the first time you and I talked was at the Newtown Youth Academy, which is on the old Fairfield Hills campus.
Mm-hmm,
it's a much different approach to mental health.
Yeah.
We try to be integrated as opposed to, walled off. And that's, I think, the goal of our programs.
So what is the carve out that is the supportive apartment program?
So the supportive apartment program would be, a client hits success at 18, 24 months. It could even be sooner, depending how well they're navigating through their own goals. And we find a place for them, within the greater Norwalk area that meets their needs and is something they can afford, between their stipends, their disability stipends, the state support they get. And then we have clinical staff that goes and works with them, you know, at their home, you know, helps them navigate their day, set their schedules, make sure they're, you know, shopping as frequently as they need so they can eat every day, and picking out, you know, appropriate food that's healthy and nutritious, and helping them manage their budgets as well. And so that's, it's another level of independent living where there's not 24-hour staff, but the staff is available to them, you know, around the clock for the support.
So no matter where the client of Keystone House is, whether they're with family, living independently in the community, part of the supportive apartment program in the long-term or transitional housing, they can all benefit from the community living center. Let's turn our spotlight to that facility.
Yeah, yeah. And it's actually, it's below me as we speak. Mm-hmm. And we have about 36 clients in it. And a lot of them are, I guess, alumni, for lack of a better term, of some of our group home programs. Or also actively participating in our community support program. So it's another service to enhance that. And that we, like, actually right now they're eating lunch that they prepare together, and they do a lot of skill-based work. You know, they work on everything from GED prep for those who haven't completed a high school degree, computer skills to update their own skills to improve their ability to secure a job and maintain a job. You know, and we work in a lot of the, I guess, you know, yoga, exercise, meditation, you know, a lot of the, sure, the physical elements of mental health to model and teach the skills to, you know, help get through the day, you know, the days that aren't your best days, to have the skills to tap into, you know, when your mental illness is a little more significant.
Yeah, yeah, having a bad day.
Exactly.
Yep. And the Community Living Center is an oasis, I'm sure, for folks in that situation, and it's chock full of empathetic staff and colleagues and friends, so that's fantastic. In the last minute or two that we have with you, Nick, we do want to make sure folks know that they can support the organization through volunteerism, through donations, but also by maybe coming out for a good time on May 6th, the 50th anniversary celebration. Give us a quick 1 minute on that.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're excited to celebrate our 50 years, May 6th at the St. Anne's Club here in Norwalk, from 6 to 11. You can find the event on our website, which is www.keystonehouse.org. And we'd love to see everybody there. It's going to be an exciting celebration, a lot to celebrate. You know, I think most importantly, just being together in a room, you know, after this start-stop life we've been living the last couple of years. And it'll be a standard gala, you know, cocktail hour, entertainment, live auction, silent auction. And we have this exciting program, Mystery Boxes, where we have incredible donations that you take a bit of a gamble and you get the big prize.
Great. Well, 50 years ago, back in 1972, Keystone began with a mere 24 clients. Now, nearly 300 being served in the greater Norwalk area, with residential and psychosocial services for adults with psychiatric disorders, helping individuals adjust and remain in the community environments of their choosing by giving them the necessary life skills and tools to help them live as independently as possible. My pal Nick Hoffman is their new executive director. So pleased to be able to be one of the first media organizations to welcome you back to the neighborhood, Nick. And we'll be talking to you again soon. Let us know how we might be able to help you in the future. And folks, if you want to learn more, just go to KeystoneHouse.org and consider attending their 50th anniversary gala coming up in May. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.